Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, entitled Indra Offends Brihaspati, his spiritual master. And we are, I think I will also read the summary because there is a brief summary just to understand where we are reaching. But the verse is written in the board number 12. So I'm going to chant, we are going to chant first this sloka, and then I will go to the summary and review and read with you the following text until we reach the 12th. Kogridiet pandito laksmim tripista papaterapi jayaham asuram bhavam nito dia vibudesvara kogridiet pandito laksmim tripista papaterapi Yayaham asuram bhavam nito dia vibudesvara kogridiet pandito laksmim tripista papaterapi yayaham asuram bhavam nito dia vibudesvara. So I mentioned I am a child, who am I to tell you what to do, but this is my service now, and I beg you, the Vaishnavas, please, if you want to chant and repeat this, we'll repeat this mantra with you. Kogridiet pandito laksmin tripista papaterapi jayaham asuram bhavam Nito dia vibudesvara Kogridiet pandito laksmim Tripista papaterapi Jayaham asuram bhavam Nito dia vibudesvara. Vaishnavis? Kogridiet pandito laksmin tripista papaterapi yayaham asuram bhavam nito dia vibudesvara. Okay, so what should we do? Okay, so we go into the summary. And then when we reach the sloka, we'll reach word by word. So this is a summary of this chapter. Indra offends his spiritual master Brihaspati. As related in this chapter, Indra, the king of heaven, committed an offense at the feet of his spiritual master Brihaspati. Brihaspati, therefore, left the demigods, who then had no priest. However, at the request of the demigods, Visvarupa, the son of the Brahmana Tvastha, became their priest. Once upon a time, Indra, the king of the demigods, was sitting, thank you, with his wife Sachidevi, and being praised by various demigods like the Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, Once upon a time, Indra, the king of the demigods, was sitting with his wife Sachidevi and being praised by various demigods like the Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas when Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, entered the assembly. Indra, being too absorbed in material opulence, forgot himself and did not respect Brihaspati, who thus became aware of Indra's pride, in his material opulence and immediately disappear from the assembly to teach him a lesson. Indra became most repentant, understanding that because of his opulence he had forgotten to respect his spiritual master. He left the palace to beg pardon from his spiritual master, but could not find Brihaspati anywhere. Because of his disrespectful behavior towards his spiritual master, Indra lost all his opulence and was conquered by the demons, who defeated the demigods in a great fight and occupied Indra's throne. King Indra, along with the other demigods, later took shelter of Lord Brahma, understanding the situation, Lord Brahma chastised the demigods for their offense to their spiritual master. Following Lord Brahma's orders, the demigods accepted Visvarupa, who was a Brahmana and the son of Tuasta, as their priest. Then they performed yagyas under the priesthood of Visvarupa and were able to conquer the demons. So this is the summary. And the first test has a short purport, and then there is no purpose until text 12. So this is text number one. Maharaj Pariksit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, "O great sage, why did the spiritual master of the demigods, Brihaspati, reject the demigods who were his own disciples? What offense did the demigods commit against their spiritual master? Please describe to me this incident." Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, "Saptame guruna tyaktai devair daitya parajitai visvarupo gurutvena vritto brahmo padesata." This seventh chapter describes how Brihaspati was offended by the demigods, how he left them and the demigods were defeated, and how the demigods, following the instructions of Lord Brahma, accepted Visvarupa as the priest to perform their sacrifice. Omangyana timirandasya gyanangyana salakaya chaksurum militangyena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Si Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitan Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Siguru Siyuta Padakamalam Sigurum Vaishnavam Cha Sirupam Sagrayatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Si Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Si Visakam Vitam Cha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gourangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sorry, this is went off again. I have my notes here. So we just read the summary of this verse, and we can bring the scenery of the of this chapter. It starts before with Prajapati Daksha having his sister's 60 daughters, and then he gave them to seven main sages. One of these sages was Kasyapa Muni, and Kasyapa Muni with Aditya, married to 13 daughters of Daksha. he gave them in charity to 13 daughters, to Kasyapa Muni. The first of the wives of Kasyapa Muni was Aditi, and with Aditi he had 12 sons, and one of these sons was Tuasta. Tuasta was a son of Kasyapa Muni who was very brahminically inclined. And Tuasta married to Rachana, who was a daughter of the deities, the demons. But nonetheless, he accepted her, and he had two sons. And one of the sons, because the wife accepts and gives herself to the husband, they had very wonderful sons. One son, the second son, was Visvarupa, who became later the spiritual master of the demigods. He was a very brahminical inclined Vaishnava, a devotee, you know. So here is how this Visvarupa, where he comes from. And here we hear the sad story that is happening again and again in the whole Bhagavatam. How, as we were mentioning in the beginning, we are toddlers learning how to walk, so we fall down many times and we get up because of the association of devotees, and again we fall down and again we get up, and we don't give it up because we see all of the devotees. How can we give it up, no? Although our tests come and we fall down, we get up again, we are confident that we are going to walk because we see all around us everyone is walking, all our elders are walking. So although I don't have yet the ability to walk, I'm sure I'm going to walk because all of you are walking, no? In Krishna consciousness is like this. We inspire one another how to walk in Krishna consciousness, no? So the sad story was that Indra was in his assembly hall surrounded by the Charanas, the Siddhas, the Gandharvas, and they were beautifully playing their instruments with so much beauty, harmony, rhythm, perfect rhythm, and very sweet voices, very handsome, very pretty, like the ladies. Everything was very beautiful with jewels and gold and so much opulence. And he himself, he must have been very attractive personality, Indra, no? So, despite of all this facility, and sometimes because of these facilities, we fall down. We, instead of catching the real, we catch the false, the mirror, and we fall down. So, Indra fell down because his spiritual master, Brihaspati, happened to enter at that moment. And he didn't offer him obeisances. He didn't offer him respects. He didn't even offer him a seat, nor a glass of water, nothing. He just ignored Brihaspati, and he kept with his enjoyment. He was sitting in his throne. It is explained that he was sharing the throne with his wife. They were using half of the throne, each of them, no? And with all that facility, he fell down, very sad. When he realized, when the clouds of his mind, of his attachments, dissipated because his Brihaspati left, then he realized, oh my God, again I have committed an offense. I don't know if it was his first offense or the second or whatever, no? But I have committed an offense. And he went outside and he was willing to ask forgiveness, please forgive me. But Brihaspati was so merciful that he left. When he went outside, he didn't see him. Oh my God, I'm never going to see him again. I may never see him again. I have offended him. I haven't had the chance to ask him forgiveness. Please forgive me, Gurudev. And now I may never see him again. And he was destroyed. He was blaming himself. He was cursing himself. What is the use of all this opulence if I cannot properly honor my spiritual master? He was so disturbed, no? Devastated. And then what happened? The demons came and they lost the kingdom. They lost all the opulence and the followers also with him. Because whatever intelligent man does, everyone follows. So the demigods were praising him, and they all lost everything. And then they approached Lord Brahma, and Brahma saw what had happened. Said, okay, forget it. Lord Brahma knew that Brihaspati was willing to teach Indra a lesson because he had a very prominent position and he had to learn the lesson. Although he didn't want to lose the association of his spiritual master, although he was very much willing to ask, please Gurudev, please forgive me. Please disregard my childhood mentality that has brought me to commit this offense. Still, because he had that exalted position, Brihaspati decided he was retiring from that assembly, no? He left them. And this is the question of Maharaj Pariksit. Oh, great sage, why did the spiritual master of the demigods, Brihaspati, rejected the demigods? Why he did reject them? Because we commit offenses, but as our child, they pass everything in our lap and we don't reject them. And it is said that we have to throw the water of the bath when we give bath to our child. But we should not throw the water. Please don't do that. Who's doing that? We'll be crazy, no? So, I don't know if I said it right. Oh, thank you, Ganga Devi. So, we throw the water, but we don't throw the child. We don't do that. So why Brihaspati threw the child? Why Brihaspati left and never came back to the assembly of the demigods? Oh my God. That's why Brihaspati was totally devastated, completely devastated. What have I done? I have never gonna see my spiritual master again. I understand why, because I have committed the greatest mistake. He came into the assembly. This is what we want. Why we want to share Krishna Katha so that Krishna is attracted, he comes, and then we can worship him. And the spiritual master is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we are together reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, we want this spiritual master. He doesn't have to come, but we would be most honored if he would come. And what would we do? What a disciple does, I would get up immediately and throw my body into the floor. Please, Gurudev, finally we can hear from you. Please enlighten us. But Indra didn't do that. He forgot completely. Completely. He lost control due to pride. And this is what Maharaj Pariksit is asking. How is that? It's okay, we all commit mistakes, we all commit offenses because we are learning like children, but why Brihaspati abandoned them forever? Oh my God, forever is a big word. And what offense the demigods committed against the spiritual master? Please describe to me this incident. He couldn't believe, how is that, no? So we can read this thing again. I don't know if I'm going to use it. So we are going to read the next texts. These are the texts from 2 to 7 without purport. We are going to read them. Sukadeva Goswami said, O king, once upon a time the king of heaven, Indra, being extremely proud because of his great opulence of the three worlds, transgressed the law of Vedic etiquette. Seated on his throne, he was surrounded by the Maruts, Vasus, Rudras, Adityas, Ribus, Visvadevas, Sadhyas, Asvini Kumaras, Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, and by great saintly persons. Also surrounding him were the Vidyadharas, Apsaras, Kinnaras, Patagas, the birds, and Uragas, snakes. All of them were offering Indra their respects and services, and the Apsaras and Gandharvas were dancing and singing with the very sweet musical instruments. Over Indra's head was a white umbrella as effulgent as the full moon. Fanned by the jack-tail whisks and served with all the paraphernalia of a great king, Indra was sitting with his wife, Sachidevi, who occupied half the throne. When the great sage Brihaspati appeared in that assembly, Brihaspati appeared. Brihaspati, the best of the sages, was the spiritual master of Indra, and the demigods was respected was the spiritual master of Indra and the demigods, and was respected by the demigods and demons alike. Nevertheless, although Indra saw his spiritual master before him, he did not rise from his own seat or offer a seat to his spiritual master, nor did Indra offer him a respectful welcome. None of this did. He didn't get up, he didn't offer him a seat, he didn't offer him a respectful welcome. He was just absorbed in enjoying his opulence. Indra did nothing to show him respect. Text 9. Brihaspati knew everything that would happen in the future. Seeing Indra's transgression of etiquette, he completely understood that Indra was puffed up by his material opulence. Although able to curse Indra, he did not do so. Instead, he left the assembly and in silence returned to his home. Text 11. Alas, what a regrettable deed I have committed because of my lack of intelligence and my pride in my material opulences. I failed to show respect to my spiritual master when he entered this assembly, and thus I have insulted. And text 12 is today's verse. Because there is not much time, I am not gonna read word by word, although it's very nice to read by word by word. So the translation: although I am king of the demigods who are situated in the mode of goodness, I was proud of a little opulence and polluted by false ego. Under the circumstances, who in this world would accept such riches at the risk of falling down? Alas, I condemn my wealth and opulence. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadisa Kammaye. O my Lord, I do not aspire for material opulence or wealth, nor do I want a great number of followers to accept me as their leader, nor do I want a very beautiful wife to please me. Mama jammani jammani svare bhavatat bhakti rahai tu kitwayi. I do not even want liberation. All I want, life after life, is to be a faithful servant of your Lordship. According to the laws of nature, when one is extremely opulent, one becomes degraded. This is true both individually and collectively. So this is true individually and collectively. We have seen here Indra become proud of his opulence and his followers fell down with him. No? And inasmuch as a person has good qualities, we share, by following that person, we share the good qualities. So Prabhupada says this is the same individually and collectively. The demigods are situated in the mode of goodness, but sometimes even one who is situated in such an exalted position as King Indra, the king of all the demigods, falls down because of material opulence. We are now actually seeing this in America. The entire American nation has tried to advance in material opulence without striving to produce ideal human beings. The result is that the Americans are now regretting the wholesale criminality of American society and are wondering how America has become so lawless and unmanageable. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.31, Nate vidu swartha gatin hi visnum, persons who are unintelligent do not know the aim of life, which is to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, both individually and collectively, they try to enjoy so-called material comforts, and they become addicted to wine and women. The men produced in such a society are less than fourth class. They are the unwanted population known as Varna Sanskara. And as stated in Bhagavad Gita, an increase of Varna Sanskara population creates a hellish society. This is the society in which Americans now find themselves. Fortunately, however, the Hare Krishna movement has come to America, and many fortunate young men are giving serious attention to this movement, which is creating ideal men of first-class character, men who completely refrain from meat-eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. If the American people are serious about curbing the degraded criminal life of their nation, they must take to the Krishna consciousness movement and try to create the kind of human society advised in Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvarniam maya shristam guna karma vibhagasa. They must divide their society into first class men, second class men, third class men, and fourth class men. Since they are now creating only men who are less than fourth class, how can they avoid the dangers of a criminal society? Long, long ago, Lord Indra regretted his disrespect to his spiritual master Brihaspati. Similarly, it is advised that the American people regret their mistaken advancement in civilization. They should take advice from the spiritual master, the representative of Krishna. If they do so, they will be happy, and theirs will be an ideal nation to lead the entire world. Srila Prabhupada ki. So my computer is getting off. I don't know how to keep it for longer on. But anyway, what to do? So, there is not much time, but we see the what was happening, no? Why I am here? Why am I here? No? Am I here originally because I was given a book in as a present, and then I was given a ELP record, the Vrindavan record, wonderful, as a present also, and immediately I make an altar and put the Bhagavad Gita in the altar. I had never made an altar, but it's so attractive, the association of devotees is so attractive, and Bhagavatam is Krishna himself and his devotees, so it moves the heart into appreciation, no? It's very wonderful. So, and with the record, I was playing it every day and was chanting, of closing all the windows, of freezing off all the light and chanting whatever word I was understanding, and when the Maha Mantra was coming, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, with all my loud voice, that I have a very loud voice, and I didn't care for the neighbors, I just wanted high volume and high voice, and chanting Hare Krishna, and I was telling my mom, someone is going to come. I don't know who is going to come, but someone is going to come, because it's not possible that I was in a depression. I didn't want anything they were saying. But what do you want? I said, I don't know. I know one thing. Okay, I know. I don't want anything that you have. I wish it was true. It's not true. But because then when we come in contact with the devotees, we see, oh my sari, white sari has so many stains. It's not as white as I thought, no? So we see our anarthas, no? But at that moment, I was disgusted with society, as many of us here. And that's why I came. Later on, there it is, my friend who brought me to Krishna consciousness, no, Ganga Devi. I met the devotees on the street. I almost smashed my nose in a corner with a devotee because I was so blind that although I had the book, although I was chanting, I couldn't realize. But here is an invitation to go to the temple. I only have to cross the ocean from the island to Barcelona. There was the closest temple. Sorry. I am just talking, but I have not presented myself. My name is Mahalakshmi Dasi, and I come from Spain. I have spent most of my life, because life comes when we meet the devotees, in our fan community, New Rayamandala, a very wonderful community, as big as Mayapur, physically speaking. It's 300 hectares farm, which means 600 acres or a bit more, something like that. No, we don't have 3,000 devotees there or 6,000. Very few. We can't count them. But very wonderful Radha Govinda Chandra, and it's very... So that's why I'm here, no? My son wanted to come to the Gurukul, and that's why I'm here. And every one of us has some story why we are here, no? And it's time. I was willing to ask you why everyone is here, why you are here, why, you know? So there are similar stories, but we can say very fast, why are we here now sitting in the Srimad Bhagavatam class? Anyone has something to say?
Just to save myself.
To?
Just to save myself.
To save myself, yes. I am here to save myself. Any other ideas? Why are you here? Yes, to learn to improve. Yeah, I am also here to learn to improve. Anything else? Any more ideas? Why are we here? Why are you here? Mahamaya Prabhu. Because Prabhupada instructs us to listen Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Yes. So why are we here doing all these activities? To bring, I have to do it very quickly, to bring God in the center. That's why we are sitting here, very exalted seats every day, listening at Bhagavatam, and one of us every day is taking this seat to share with amongst us Krishna Katha, no? That's why we are here. And that's why Indra was given the position of king and was sitting in the throne. The demigods are devotees, and I haven't heard, but I am sure they have a wonderful temple, very wonderful temple. But what did Indra do? And why? Because they are in Karma Kanda, no? They worship God because they want to enjoy, but they worship God, and the demigods, they really worship God. That's why they have that high position, no? And the purpose of worshiping God is to learn how to live a life that pleases Krishna and thus is pleasing to everyone, no? Sharing his riches. The purpose of worshipping Krishna is sharing his riches. So the purpose of Indra being sitting in the throne was enliven and inspire and encourage everyone to worship Krishna. But his spiritual master came and he forgot. My God, he forgot the most important thing. So the purpose of everything is bringing Krishna in the center. And if we bring Krishna in the center, then what happens with all of us? We become Krishna's associates. We become pure devotees by bringing Krishna in the center. Every one of us, Prabhupada says, there is a quote here, very beautiful. Why are you making distinctions? Because he says, who is a pure devotee? Everyone is a pure devotee. If you make a difference, then you are doomed. You are a fool. I don't have it here, it is written, no? You are a fool. That's why I encourage you, I was not looking for this quote, but this is, I was looking for when Prabhupada was asked, who is a pure devotee, and he said, how many temples, how many devotees, but I didn't get it, and I got this one. And he says, that's why we are encouraged to call each other Prabhu. And he says, and actually, Prabhupada means a master around whom all masters sit. And I don't talk about this for now to start every one of us to call each other Prabhu. It's not that. But the idea is that we need to see everyone a pure devotee. There are pure devotees, Kanishta devotees are pure devotees, and Madhyama devotees are pure devotees, and Uttama devotees are pure devotees. Prabhupada said this, if we make distinction, we are doomed. So everyone is a pure devotee in different stages of the process of devotional service. And since there is no question, time to questions, and I'm probably no one would ask a question, I'm going to share with you something that I was consulting. So, because I was shocked, this is a question I made. How a Kanishta devotee can be a pure devotee? So a devotee who is sincerely following the instructions of a spiritual master from Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti, he is a Kanishta pure devotee. He is a Kanishta pure devotee. So Kanishta devotees are pure devotees as long as we go through Shraddha, Adu Shraddha, to Nishta. And then it is the time, so if you want to go. I'm going to finish just this. There were so many interesting things. And Madhyama Adhikari is a devotee from Nishta to Ashakti. And Madhyama Adhikari is a devotee who goes through Nishta to Ashakti. And a sincere devotee who is going through Nishta to Ashakti, he is a pure Madhyama devotee, a pure devotee. And then Uttama Adhikari, they are fixed from Baba to Prema. We don't need to be in Uttama to be a pure devotee. And Uttama, and not even Uttama Adhikari needs to be in Prema Bhakti to be an Uttama devotee. A devotee who is in Bhava, attraction, is a pure devotee, is an Uttama devotee. And we all have some small insignificant attraction, and then we are covered by our clouds of the mind, some by anger, some by lust, some by other things. And I appreciate very much the association of devotees, because only in the association of devotees I can see the stains in my cloth. So there were more things I wanted to share, but the point is this, that if we keep Krishna in the center, then all society benefits. I benefit, I grow in your association. Everyone, by helping small ones as myself, they are also benefited. And we all together grow and turn the society in Krishna consciousness. It is 10 to 8, so there is no time for anything else. Thank you very much. And all glories to all of you, and Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.